gosh. Now, all you football teams won. I mean, nobody played anybody of no value. All you football teams won, you ought to be just a little happy. Brother Brad asked me a question the other day. He said, if somebody looked at you just by the way your face is, could they tell that you were a Christian? By your facial expression. Do you walk around all the time just, you know? I got thinking about that, Brother Brad, real hard. This morning I want to preach a title. What must I do with Jesus? What? Pilate said, what do you want me to do with Jesus? This morning I want to preach a title, what must I do with Jesus? If you have your copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter number 27. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and then we're going to skip over a few verses and get into the meat of the subject. But this morning, what must I do? What must I do with Jesus? That's what he asked him. Pilate asked him, said, what do you want me to do with him? What do you want me to do with this Jesus? This morning I ask you a question. What have you done with Jesus? What are you doing with Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. Matthew 27 and verse number 1. If you found your place, say amen. And the Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. In verse number 19, talking about Pontius Pilate, when he was set down, verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? She said, don't you have nothing to do with Jesus. She said, don't you have nothing to do with Jesus now. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, and here's the title of the message, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Our Father and our God, as I bow in your presence this morning, it's so good to be in your house. Father, I pray this morning for the next few moments that you allow the Holy Ghost of heaven just to minister to the ears of the hearer this morning. I pray this morning you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say this morning be all about you and not one thing about me, Father. Lord, I pray this morning I preach, thus saith the Word of God. I pray I preach the truth straight. Lord, I pray it be clear and I pray it be correct, Father. Lord, I pray this morning that whoever may have wandered in here this morning that has never done nothing with Jesus, I pray this be the morning they get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved from their sin, heaven bound, hell shunned, ready to meet Jesus. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood. I thank you for grace. Have your will and way in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Pontius Pilate, as we come here, they have led Jesus right to him. And here when he came, Pilate said unto them, and he's talking about to the Pharisees, and he said, what shall I do with this man who's Jesus Christ? And they said, crucify him. He said, what do I need to do with Jesus? I want to show you some people in this text with what must I do with Jesus. What do you do with Jesus? Can I say to you, one crowd, they rejected Him. When they got there, the Pharisees, they rejected Jesus. When they got Him there in front of Pontius Pilate, He said, I find no fault in this man. What must I do with Him? And the Pharisees, you see, they started hollering, crucify Him. They rejected Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And they started rejecting Him. Three times on two accounts, they said, hey, crucify Him. Crucify Him. He had done nothing wrong to them. He had not wronged them. He had not been in no way to them. All He had done was came, and He was the way, the truth, and the life. In the world we live in, it is the same way. He has not wronged one person in the world we live in. If He's done anything to anybody, it is good. Can I get an amen? Hey, everybody in this room deserved hell. Hey, but if you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, you're going to get to go to heaven. Amen? Not on nothing you've done, but on the goodness of God. And this morning He says, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And the Pharisees started hollering. He started hollering. I want you to know, hey, they started rejecting Him, and they wanted Barabbas. They wanted the cares of this world. They wanted the things of this world. Hey, they wanted a man of this world. They wanted somebody that would lie to them. They wanted somebody that would steal. Hey, somebody wanted somebody that would not do them any other thing but wrong. Hey, that's the world we live in. Hey, we don't want the truth. We want what's easy and the easy way out. And here's what they did. They rejected Him. And you know what it costed them in their life? Hey, but us see something else, that they rejected Him, and they said, we don't want nothing to do with Him, and give us Barabbas. This morning, I want to ask you a question. What have you done with Jesus this morning? Have you rejected Him? Has the Holy Ghost of heaven knocked on your heart's door before, and He's knocked on your heart's door, and you rejected Him, and you said, give me the things of this world. Hey, give me the goodness of this world. I don't want Jesus. Friends, can I say to you, the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life is, what have you done with Jesus? Have you made Him your Lord and Savior? Have you made Him your King? Have you made Him your everything? If you have not, you're still rejecting the Son of God. Hey, but this morning I see in the text, number one, they rejected Jesus and they didn't want nothing to do with Him. But I see number two, hey, I want you to know that Pilate's wife, she avoided Jesus. There's one thing to reject Him and have nothing to do with Him and not want to be in His presence or nowhere near Him. Hey, but it's totally something different to avoid Him. And here's what she said. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 19. Hey, can I say to you this morning, you be careful who you're running with. You be careful who you're running with. Look what he said this morning in verse number 19. Hey, one crowd rejected Him and the other crowd avoided Him. She wasn't against Him, but she wasn't for Him. Amen? If you're against Him, if you're not for Him, you're against Him. You can't be both ways. You're either for Him or you're against Him. And this morning, my heart burns so dearly inside of my heart. And I want you to look at this. Which He had sat down on the judgment seat. Here, old Pontius Pilate, he has sat down on the judgment seat. And he's looking to judge Jesus Christ. And can I say to you, he couldn't find no fault in Him. And when he got here, the one crowd rejected Him. But then here comes his wife. And she says, I want you to avoid Him. Because if you get caught up with this Jesus, it's going to label you. You're going to be labeled in the life that you live. Hey, I got good news this morning. If you're a Christian, you should be labeled. Amen. Woo, glory to God, you should be labeled. Look what he says this morning in verse number 19. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, talking about Pontius Pilate, his wife sent unto him, saying, here's what she said unto him. She said, you get away from that Jesus. You have nothing to do with that Jesus. He's going to change our life if you get involved with Him. He's going to change everything that's going on. Hey, it's going to change the way you live. It's going to change the way you talk. It's going to cost you your job. It's going to cost you your way of living. Hey, you're going to be an outcast. Hey, avoid Him at all costs and get away from Him. I say to you this morning, if you don't come to Jesus, it's going to cost you everything. Woo! Glory to God. When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that man, that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Hey, I say to you, she was under conviction at that moment in her life. Hey, the Spirit of God was dealing on that woman. And you know what she did? Instead of getting right where she needed to be with God, she started discouraging somebody else. I've seen it time and time again, Brother Gary. A man of God get on fire fire and start doing what God's called him to do. And he get in the local body church and he start serving God and living for God, and his wife not get on fire, it won't be long. He won't be going to church. He'll be running after her and doing everything she wants to do. Hey, they'll have more vacations and you can count. They'll go to more ball games than you've ever seen. They'll go down life's highway and she'll get him out of church and what God's called him to do. Hey, but I've seen it on the other hand where a woman of God will get on fire for God. Can I get an amen? And that husband not get on fire and it not be on long. He'll be trying to avoid everything that's going on. He'll want nothing to do with God and it won't be long. You know what she'll do? She'll get hooked up with him, lined up with him, and he'll drag her out of that local body, drag them out over there, and they'll be avoiding God, out of where God would have them to be. I say to you this morning, don't you fall for the tricks of the devil. You stick with the stuff, amen? Hey, don't you reject Jesus, and don't you avoid what God's called you to do. Yesterday morning, we went to the men's breakfast. There was more preachers over there than you could shake a stick at. I wonder why the crowd was so big. That's because they had a lot of preachers there. And every one of them preachers I talked to, they was almost ready to give up and give in and get out. Listen to me, if men of God's ready to give up and give in and get out and resign and get out of what God's called them to do, it won't be long. People in the pew will try to do the same thing. You listen to me this morning, don't you get to the place that you avoid what God has called you to do. Hey, when she got there, she said, don't you get with this just man. Don't you have nothing to do with him. Why? Because it was a hindrance. It done disturbed her in her dreams in that quiet hour of her life. Have you ever had the Holy Ghost speak to you in the quiet hours of the night? Hey, you're laying there in your bed and you wake up and you don't know why you're awake, Brother Les, but it's the sweet Holy Ghost of heaven and he's speaking to you and he's talking in your ear and he's all over you. Hey, I want you to know, if you've got that this morning, it's something to praise God about. Can I get an amen? Hey, if God's been talking to you and he's been speaking to you, I want you to know that's something to praise God about. Amen. Woo, glory to God. I seen that one rejected him. He said, hey, they rejected him. He said, give us Barabbas. But I seen that Pontius Pilate's wife avoided him. He said, don't you have nothing to do with that Jesus. Don't you have nothing to do with that Jesus. I wonder who this morning, they ain't never told you that, but by their actions, you know they don't want you nothing to do with that Jesus. You know, my family knows, don't plan nothing on Sunday. Amen? Don't you plan nothing on Sunday, because I know where I need to be on Sunday. Can I get a witness? But let me show you something else in the text here that, boy, it really seared my heart, man. Just got all over me. I see one rejected him. I see one, look here, one avoided him. But I see where Pilate also avoided him. Avoided what Jesus had called him to do. You say, well, Scripture had to be fulfilled. He had to. But you don't have to. Listen to me this morning. You don't have to avoid what God's doing on your life this morning, how he's been pulling on you and pricking your heart and moving on you in a mighty way. Here's what Pilate said. Pilate had done seen where they rejected him to hurt, and his wife done spoke in his ear and said, you do not get around that Jesus. You stay away from that Jesus. You know what the world calls us? A bunch of Jesus freaks. You know what they called me before? I can't say it. You're going to be labeled anyway. They label you from the get-go. You're labeled either way. So might as well be labeled that you love Jesus. Amen? Look what Pilate did. Pilate said, I got one crowd rejecting him. Sister Kim, thank you so much for that this morning. You had no clue why. He had one crowd rejecting him. One crowd said, hey, we ain't going to totally reject him. We're just going to avoid him. We're going to dodge him, get away from him. You ever had somebody dodge you? Be walking down Walmart. Man, I'm going to run a rabbit. Let me run up this man. Be walking down Walmart, got your buggy going out there, Brother Jake, and then you run in and see Brother Brent, and you're like, whoa, I don't want to talk to him right now. And you say, man, I got to get down that aisle, but I got to get some. So you peek around that aisle and see who's down it. Y'all ain't never done that? Or somebody call your phone and you look at it and you're like, oh. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. There's sometimes you avoid people. You say, preacher, I've never avoided nobody. Hey, listen to me. If you're not careful, you'll avoid the Holy Ghost. He'll start speaking to your heart and he'll want you to do something. He'll want you to do it right and you'll avoid him and you won't get where you need to be. And this is what Pontius Pilate did. Look what he said here. He said, I got one crowd rejecting Jesus. I got one crowd avoiding Jesus. I'll just wash my hands of Jesus. I'll just get him completely off me. Can I say water won't get him off of you? Water won't get him off of you. The only thing get him off of you is confession, repentance unto him. Getting in line with him is the only thing that'll line it up. Boy, I'm sorry. Woo, Brother J.D. Oh, he's over there. Look with verse 24. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You say, man, preacher, is it any good to follow Jesus? It's worth it all. It's worth it all. When you see the world rejecting him and going that way, living anyway, it's worth it all to follow Jesus. When you see people avoiding the church and they're avoiding men of God and women of God and they're avoiding them and they're going that way, it's still worth following Jesus. You see, Pontius Pilate said, he looked and nothing prevailed. He seen nothing that was going to do him no value. And he said, I'm not going to reject him and I'm not going to totally avoid him. I'm just going to wash my hands of him. I'm just going to get away from the church. I'm going to get away from Jesus. I'm going to get away from all that completely. Can I say to you, you just can't get away from him. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. Look what he says here. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but the rather a tumult or an uproar was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, here's what he did. He got to where he washed his hands. He said, I'm done with this. Here's what he said. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. He still knew he was just. There's no sin in him. He knew he had not messed up. He knew he was the way. He knew he was the truth. He knew he was the life. You know who I'm talking to this morning? You know Jesus is the way. You know he's the truth. You know he's the life. You know that's who you need to fall in love with. And that's who you know, man. You know in your heart that you need to do something with him. But instead of doing anything, I'll just wait. I'll avoid it right now. I'll just wait. Everything at home is falling apart, and you know what the problem is. Can I get a witness? When my home is falling apart and it's going crazy, the first thing I do is go back spiritual. I don't look physical. I don't look financial. I go straight spiritual. Where am I at and what am I doing and where's God at in my life right now? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, they ought to be liberty. They ought to be freedom. They ought to be set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That does you no good if he don't live inside of you and you don't receive him. If you reject him and avoid him all your life, it'll do you no good on the day of judgment. The only thing that will do you good on the day of judgment is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want you to see this this morning. Man, this has got all over me. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather it was a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. I say to you this morning, one crowd rejected him. One crowd avoided him. Pontius Pilate, he washed his hands of him. This morning I'm asking you a question. What will you do with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? So preacher, what do I do with Jesus? What must I do with Jesus? You have no excuse not to do something with Jesus. For the last 3 weeks, I've had a man call me every day. Are you coming to the men's breakfast to preach? I said, yes, sir, I'll be there. The next day he calls me. Are you coming to the men's breakfast to preach? Yes, sir, I'm going to be there. The next day he called me. Are you going to come to the men's breakfast and preach? Yes, sir, I'm going to be there. I've never laid eyes on this man. I don't know this man. For 3 weeks, every day he's called my phone. Are you sure you're going to come? Yes, sir, I'm going to be there. I told Brady, this guy is persistent. Somebody must have told him I overslung on. We pull up yesterday morning, get out, and I tell the guys with me, I said, man, we ain't never been here, be our first time. I don't know who's here. I walked in. I'm looking for a guy named Brent. I'm looking for him. I'm looking around the room, and there's this guy sitting in a wheelchair that's a paralegic. Can't raise his hand up, and he's laid over to the side. And I go over to him, and I go to shake his hand, and he gives me his pinky. He just does this with his pinky. Now this man, this guy that I'm looking for has called me and been persistent. He's not rejected Jesus Christ. He's not avoided that God can use him. And he's not washed his hand and said, because I'm in a wheelchair, I'm a paralegic, God can't use me and can't be and he can't benefit me in somebody else's life. I walk into this place, instead of sitting at home like a knot on a log and not doing what God called me to do, I went. When I got to that place and that man, I got to him and I said, my name's Brother B.J. Mills. He gave me his pinky like this. And when he opened his mouth, I knew that's the man I'd talked to for 3 weeks in a row. I said, preacher, what does that got to do with anything? I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You say, God can't use me. God can't use me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what. God can't use me. I'm asking you this morning, it ain't if God's going to use you or you're going to let God use you. There's not a person in this room ain't got an excuse why they won't let God use them. But when I got to that man and I seen him in that shape and the way he was, I didn't feel sorry for him. I said, God bless, let me have the kind of faith he's got. He had a Mississippi State shirt on, tennis shoes, said Mississippi State. He said, when I get done here, I'm going to the ball game. Can I say there's one crowd that'll reject him? There's one crowd that will avoid him, Jesus. There's one crowd that'll wash their hands of him and say, I don't want nothing to do. No, I don't want nothing to do. But there's one crowd that will accept him. What crowd are you in? Turn with me to Galatians 2:20 in closing this morning. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Can I say Paul accepted him? He didn't reject him. He didn't avoid him. He took it right on. This morning, if we all be honest, there's been times in our life that we just need to say, God, can I just get right up? Man, I'm tired of being beat on. Can I just get right up in your arms, just love on you? Apostle Paul, he knew it very well. Here's what he said in Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That young man that was in that wheelchair yesterday, he done what he done because Christ lived in him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave his life for me. What have you done with Jesus? Friday morning, I was sitting at home. Man, when he saved me, he saved me. I can't help but brag on him, Brother Braden. I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? Can you help it? You can't help it. You brag on him too. Brother Les, can you help it? You can't help it, can you? Let's brag on him. I want everybody to know. I don't even want my mail carrier to know that I love the Lord. I'm not going to reject him. I'm not going to avoid him. I'm not going to wash my hands of him. I've accepted him. He's my Father. He's my Lord. He's my King. I was sitting there reading this same old King James Bible there, drinking a cup of coffee about daylight Friday morning. Man, I was sitting there and I heard the biggest commotion you ever heard in your life. Boom! Man, it was dust everywhere, and I looked out and I said, Lord, somebody's had a wreck. I took off down the driveway and there laid my mailbox that was cemented in. It was all just torn all to pieces, mangled up laying there. And I run over and said, oh my goodness! I looked down at that mailbox, and that thing was torn to pieces. I mean, just it was torn to pieces. You hear me? All mangled, couldn't put it back together. But there was my name, all the letters on the side were gone. Gone. Disintegrated. Gone. But there was one name that was still on the mailbox, and it wasn't Brandy's. On the front of my mailbox, where you pull the lid down, it says, Jesus. It says, Jesus. And on that mailbox, all mangled and everything, there was that door of that mailbox. It wasn't destroyed, it wasn't bent, it wasn't wrinkled. Pretty as you please where Jesus was at. He said, why you put Jesus on your mailbox? I'm stopping them Dunn collectors, bill collectors. Negative people. People that send you letters in the mail that are nasty or not nice. That ain't got nothing good to say. Amen? That ain't got nothing good to say. That stops that from coming to your house. Put it on the front of that mailbox. And I reached down to grab that mailbox and I was going to have me a fit. I'm talking about y'all know. We all Christians, but we still have a fit. Can I get amen, mama? Amen. And I reached down there to grab that mailbox and I heard a man say, hey, preacher. I looked up. And it was my neighbor coming off the hill. And he come off that hill and he come down there to where I was at and he stood right there with me. I ain't talked to him in a while. And we stood there and we got talking about how good God was. I told him that in Exodus 33, 21, where the Lord told Moses, said, there's a place that I can put you in the cliff of the rock. There's a place I can hide you out if you just won't reject me and you'll let me put you there. And you won't avoid me, but you'll accept me and take me in. I'll put you somewhere that nobody can get a hold of you and they can't hurt you. I got to share that with that man, Brother Les, I'm telling you. And I told him, I said, listen to me, Jesus is the door. You can reject him today, but he's still the door. You can avoid him all your life, but he's still the door. You can wash your hands of him and get away from him. It had nothing to do with the church, but he's still the door. Man, when I got done with that, I had a fit right there. He had a fit. He was squalling. I was squalling. And I started walking back up that old hill. And his yard was growed up. And he was telling me, I wasn't going to go here, but I got to. His yard growed up this high. Ain't been mowed in years. I started going up that hill and I told him how good God was, how God loved him, and man, how God just reached down and touched him in a mighty way. And the Holy Spirit said, you heard the need that he had, didn't you? And I started climbing up that old hill. Brother Jake, I started going up that old hill. And as I started going up that hill with that mailbox, there it said Jesus. I took another step and looked up, and there was that old cross, that Christian flag flying in there. I took another step and I thought about that cross Brother Jerry Norris made, got all the lights on it, how to tell people how to love the Lord, and I won't reject him and I won't turn him away and I won't avoid him and I love him so much. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, you can tell it, but will you show it? I said, oh Lord. I said, Lord, you know that old lawnmower I got, man, that thing, son, Danny Diller's resurrected it from the dead 100 times. You know that old lawnmower, it won't never mow that tall grass. Lord, you know, man, I got such things to do today. But would you not be willing to plant a seed? I got on the phone, I called everybody, not everybody, but I called a lot of people, trying to put it off on somebody. The Lord said, I didn't tell them to do it. I didn't tell them to go, I told you to go. Are you going to reject this opportunity? Are you going to avoid it? Are you going to wash your hands of what I've told you to do? Or are you going to get in there and do what I've told you to do? I took that old 42-inch Husqvarna lawnmower with a 20-horse motor on it, Brother Jake. And I pulled up to his yard. He come out and he said, what you doing? I said, man, the Holy Spirit's told me to help you out for just a little bit. Brother Rodney come by and said, what you doing up there? I said, you know, if the Holy Spirit hadn't told me, I wouldn't be here. He said, amen to that. I got mowing that grass. And I got going through there, Brother Brad, and I started running over stuff and hitting stuff, and it was choking the lawnmower down. And I got thinking about my life, how it used to be growed up, and things used to be laying around everywhere, and how junky it was, and how I needed the Holy Ghost of heaven not to never let me get to the place where if I share Jesus, I won't back it up with my hands and my feet. And as I got going through that old tall grass, I had to pull through and back up, pull through and back up, pull through and back up, pull through and back up. I think about how many times God's had to pull me up and back me up. How many times he's had to set my feet on a solid rock and show me it's not about me, but it's all about him. And this morning, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with him in your life? And as I got to that end, there was a big old spot left by the size of this room. It was a big old spot. And I called Brother Rodney and I told him, I got to share this with you. What God done, I got to share this. I called Brother Rodney and I said, Brother, can you come help me? A bush hog is. My old lawnmower just won't do it. Before I called him, you know what that man told me? He said, he probably won't come. Whoever you're going to call, he probably won't come because everybody knows who I am. Everybody tries to avoid me. And everybody's washed their hands of me. That was my points this morning. Just what this man told me. He said, he probably won't come, preacher, because everybody knows me. He probably won't come because everybody's tried to avoid me. And everybody's washed their hands of me. I got on that phone, I started praying. I said, God, when Rodney answers this phone, let that Holy Ghost already be whooping on him. I called Brother Rod, and I said, Brother Rod, I got some bush hogging need to be done. My neighbor does. Can you get it? He said, I'll be right there. I had him on speakerphone. He said, I'll be right there. I got hung up that phone. I said, he'd be right there. He said, you think he's coming? I said, I don't think. I know he will. If he tells you something, he'll do it because he's a deacon at the church. I'd hate to know I had a lying deacon. Hey, Noah had a lying deacon or a lying preacher that wouldn't do what they said they was going to do. Brother Rodney pulled up with that thing, and about 4 or 5 swipes, he had it done. That man said, I'm going to come to church because y'all helped me in my yard. I said, listen, son, we don't want you to come to church. That's the last thing we want you to do. We want you to get right where you need to be with Jesus. And then church get right where it needs to be with you. You listen to me this morning. You can reject the church. You can avoid the church. You can wash your hands of the church all you want, but church ain't Jesus. I'm talking about the true Lamb of God that was crucified on the old rugged cross, that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. What have you done with Jesus? Are you rejecting Him? Are you avoiding Him? Have you washed your hands of Him? Or have you accepted Him? And if you have, everybody ought to see that He lives inside of me. Father, I love You. Father, I thank You for life illustration. I thank You for destroying my mailbox this week. I thank You, Father, for destroying that mailbox for a witness unto in the community we live in. Father, Your Word says it will not return unto You void. Father, let me never judge who I help. Let me help because You're my judge. Father, this morning, whoever has not done business with Jesus this morning, I pray the Holy Ghost is wearing them out right now. Father, I know preacher conviction, that ain't no good. You'll still die and go to hell under preacher conviction. But a Holy Ghost conviction, when you can't get away from the Holy Ghost, I pray they not reject Him this morning. I pray they not avoid that call to be saved, or that call to serve this morning. And I pray they don't try to wash it off and brush it off. But I pray they accept it this morning, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I pray when we walk out of this place, everybody can say, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all God's people say it. I ask you.